Everybody turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. We are in our series on the battle. We are at war with the devil and the world and the flesh. And we are to put on the armor and we will win. And Paul was sitting in jail in Rome, and a soldier, an armed soldier, was by him at all times. And he was looking at this soldier, and he saw this soldier take his armor off sometimes. And he realized that without the armor on, that soldier was what? Worthless. A wimp. But he says, with that armor on, what? He's strong. And that's what we are all about here in Ephesians chapter 6. Doug, come and read it for us, please. Ephesians chapter 6, starting verse 10.
Ephesians chapter 6, starting verse 10. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of this darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking on the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak.
Amen. It's amazing to see all what God is doing here and to make us able to win. In our text here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, it just says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to what? When you have the armor on, you will be able to win against the wiles of the devil. He is tempting us. We talked about that one week. Battle stations. We are at war. He's tempting us in every side. Is he doing a good job of tempting? He is. And but note that if you have the armor on, you'll win. He'll lose. And it repeats it in verse 13. It says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand, and in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And to win, to be victorious, to defeat him. And I want you to know that we're putting on the armor. Tonight's armor is the sword and the helmet. And that is just good stuff. But the armor, note that you're to put on the whole armor. You say, well, I just never have it all on. If you are trying to have on the whole armor, God's going to give you victory. And that's very important that you realize that. I'm going to keep putting armor on all day long. And that's very, very important. The way that we've done this is 1 Corinthians 10:13. Look at this verse. If you do not have this written in the white parts of your Bible, you need to write this in. You need to put this in your Bible. You're going to need this verse every week. Is this true? This is a great verse to memorize. It's a great verse to memorize. One of the great victory verses in the Bible. And this is how we stand. Let's read it together. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to win. Isn't that a great verse? It's one of the great promises of the Bible. You just say, oh God, the temptation that I am having is just too much. Now we always feel that. But if God allowed it, did He believe you would be victorious in it? Yes. You know, you, wow. And then God is faithful. It's common to man. You know, the devil's after me more than anybody. No, it's common to man. Common. And then God will not suffer you, will not permit you to be tempted above that you are able. Wow. I always think He does, but He doesn't. And then He will make a way of escape. If I keep the armor on, I'll win and I'll be able to defeat the wiles of the devil. And that's so important that we, 1 Corinthians 10:13, if you do not have it written in the white part of your Bible in the opening cover, please put that verse in. It's one of the first verses I memorized, and it's just a great verse. It helps me a lot. Second verse I memorized is Galatians 2:20. We're in this war, and we're on Jesus' winning team, and we're armed with victory. In Galatians 2:20, let's read this together. This is how you be strong. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's my life verse, okay? This is another great verse you need to have written in the white part of your Bible. And you need to read this often. Because how do we have victory? Our flesh is full of evil and our temptations are strong and we're weak. When I get saved, my dominance, the penalty of sin, is put on the cross. I am crucified with Christ, and I don't have to sin. My flesh is still weak, but I'm victorious. Nevertheless, you know, nevertheless, I live. Now, I'm still living in my flesh, okay? But I don't have to sin. Romans chapter 6. Yet not I, now I'm alive, but it's not me, it's Jesus living in me, okay? That's where we get the strength. Our strength is in Him. But Christ liveth in me, and now the life which I now live in the flesh, I don't live it for myself or the world or the devil, okay? I can say no to those guys, but I live it by the faith of the Son of God. I believe in Him, and He's going to help me, who loved me, and He'll never quit loving me, and He gave Himself for me. He forgave me, justified me. One day He's going to glorify me. Amen? That is the great verse. I'm on the winning team. It's not me. It's Christ living in and through and out of me. And I hope you catch that. Galatians 2:20. Read that till it comes alive in your life. And it is just a great verse to catch that. And that's how we armed for victory and stand. I love that. Be strong. Be strong. And then Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 6. Everybody look at it in your Bible. Ephesians 6, verse 18. This is the end. We've already mentioned all the armor pieces. And then he says, pray. How often are we to pray? Now we should just stop right there because we're failing in that. Is that right? I'm going to talk about that this morning. Keep that in mind. We're going to end with that point. Pray always without ceasing. And then pray in the Spirit. Don't pray in the flesh. It's just what simple. According to God's Word, His will, and His way. Lord, I'm praying for Your will. Not mine be done, but what? Yours be done. Your ways are higher than my ways. Your Word, if you pray according, if you abide in me and my Word abide in you, you ask what you will and it shall be done to you. And then it says, pray with perseverance. And that's with persistently and also passionately. And then pray for all saints. Did you catch that? That's every believer everywhere. Are we to pray for the believers around the world? That's why we have missions. Very important. Pray for all saints, it said. Not just your local saints. Are we to pray for local saints? But we're to pray for all. And then it says, praying. Catch this here in verse 19 there. And it says, praying that I may open my mouth boldly. It says, pray for me. I love that. I should not major on praying for myself. I should major on praying for you. You should major in praying for the people around you. Is that right? Okay. I shouldn't have to pray for me because you're praying for me. Is that right? Now we can pray for ourselves, but that shouldn't be our major thing. And it says, Paul says, now pray for me. I need it bad. I'm praying for you. So you pray for me. And our prayer should not be, give me, give me, give me, give me. Is that right? Our prayer should be, others, God, others, others. Bless the Lord. Bless others. And I want you to catch this, that he prayed in the white part there. And then, and also in the yellow, the bottom of the yellow part, I want you to notice that Paul's prayers, he's in jail. If you were in jail, what would be your prayer? Come on! You know, I was on the jury last week, and I got in the box, and the lawyer said, now when you got the letter that you were going to be in a jury, what did you think? You know, she was wanting him. I said, I don't have time for this. That's what I told her. She said, what did you think? I said, I don't have time for that. I think it's a great thing, but I don't have time for it. I just don't. But I made the most of it. If you want to hear my story, I'll tell you. I got to talk and witness to a couple people. It's kind of neat. And I enjoyed the part. But when he asked me, preacher, he says, you're a preacher, aren't you? I said, yes, sir. He said, do you use any current illustrations of news in your preaching? And I said, I did 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago. He says, well, why don't you tell us why you did it? And I said to him, I was in the courtroom. I said, do you want me to preach you my sermon? And he said, well, give us the shorter version. I was in the jury box. So I said, well, I preached, I gave the illustration of in Hawaii when they had the missile crisis for 33 minutes. They were, oh, I says, we are at war with Satan and we need to defeat him and he's after us and we need Jesus to win the war over the world, the flesh and the devil. And the lawyer, he says, well, thank you. And then he dismissed me from the courtroom. So I high-fived everybody and went out. And so it is important that we, so many times we'll pray for our physical, and we should pray for more spiritual than physical. Okay? There's nothing wrong with praying for physical, because when it's in your face, that's all you see. Okay? When the physical's there. And you should pray for healing. Is that right? You should, God heal me. But not my will, but what? Yours be done. Okay? Nothing wrong with that. But our prayers should be more spiritual than physical. So many times the physical takes over our whole prayer time. Is that true? Say yes. It does. It does. And we need to pray more spiritual things and to realize, wow, to do that. And it says, now you pray. This is what you're to pray. You are to put the armor on and to pray. And to pray differently there. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. It just says, be careful for nothing. That means don't worry about anything. But in everything by prayer. And that's a word that is a general word for prayer. And it's got some tendencies that is Godward and it's worshipful. Should we talk to God when we pray? Should we talk about God when we pray? It should be, God, you're wonderful. You're the Almighty. Is that right? Hallowed be thy name. Is that right? It's so important. That's the first prayer. And then the supplications, that's needs. That's physical needs, spiritual needs. And then thirdly is thanksgiving. God, thank you for doing this. Thank you for this. Thank you. Should we be thankful? We should be thankful people. And that's what this prayer is all about. To let your request be made known to God. Aren't you glad God hears your prayers? I hope you grasp that in the video we saw this morning. He's really there, and he really hears, and he really answers. Wow! That That's the prayer is awesome. And then it says, and once we pray all of this and not worry about it, and the peace of God, beautiful verse here, which passes all understanding, all human reasoning there, we can't figure it all out, but to God does it, shall keep, shall guard your hearts, shall give peace to your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And 1 Timothy 2:1, another verse about different types of prayers. It says, I exhort therefore, first of all, prayer should be first, that supplications, that's praying for our needs, prayers, talking to God, about God, intercessions, that's praying for others. It's a very important prayer. Should be a great part. And giving of thanks be for all men. Now that's the style of praying there, that we should be doing different things in our prayers, but make sure that spiritual praying outweighs our physical praying. Then we have the hand of prayer. We're going to go to prayer here in a few minutes. Have you ever seen this? This is real old. This is real old. Your thumb is praise. Is that right? Everybody put your fingers up here. Your thumb is praise. You got to remember this. This is a good way to remember praying. Praise, thanksgiving, is that right? Intercession, confession, and petition. So many times we have petition, 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 petition. Is that right? But we need to praise God who you are. Your scriptures. Pray Bible verses. Is that right? Pray. You're the Almighty. Wow. I don't understand why you listen to me, because you're so holy and I'm so unholy. Is that right? You're awesome. And then thanksgiving. You know, God, you answered this prayer. You was with me here. It was amazing. You did this. You're God. And then intercession. You know, help Mary, help Susie, help Billy. Is that right? God, you do these. Save Johnny. Open the Bible up to Susie. Is that right? Your prayers. And then confession. Once you're praised and your thanksgiving and intercession, confession, sins come to mind. When a sin comes to your mind, should you confess it? You know, God won't hear your prayers if you have sin in your life unconfessed. And so confess your sins and say, God, do I have any? You need to pray, God, is there some sin I need to confess? Is there someone I said some things, some did some things? God, talk to me, talk to me. Let me state this. If God doesn't bring a sin to your mind, should you worry about it? No. Don't end your prayer with saying, and all those I've forgotten, forgive me. No, he'll tell you. He'll tell you. Be specific. And then petition. God, I need this. We need this spiritually. We need this physically. But prayer should be praise, praise, thanksgiving, intercession, confession, and petition. Amen? Riley's going to play right now. I want you to go to prayer. I want you to pray for yourself. Pray for the people around you. Pray to God first. Praise. Thanksgiving. Thankful. Intercession. The others around you. Confession. Get right with God. Confess some sins. And petition. Petition. Ask Him. Let's just go all personal prayer right there. Riley, pray for us. Pray through this. Jesus, thank you for our time of prayer. Help each of us to take time to pray. And Lord, to go through this hand of prayer and not just have gimme, gimme, gimme. Lord, help us to deepen our prayer life, because you're first, others are second, and ourselves are last. Lord, answer the prayers of your people prayed here this morning, just right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Prayers don't need to be in special words. You say, well, I don't know how to pray. Jesus only gave us the Lord's Prayer, and that's a kind of a model prayer. If you study the prayers of the Bible, they're all different. I love to hear somebody pray that has never prayed before. They pray like God's just right there, and He's personal. And you don't have to have flowery words of, please get away from thinking that, because that's, you know, He didn't say pray the exact words. You need to pray from your heart. And you need to pray to the Almighty. And it doesn't take a certain posture. There are people prayed in the Bible standing, kneeling, laying down. You know, if your hands, you know, you don't have to use this right words or you the right posture or the right words. You just need to commune and talk and speak to the Almighty. Is that wild? Prayer should be simple. Well, I don't know how to pray. Great! You're the ones I want to hear. Because sometimes, can we get in a rut in our prayer life? Get an awful rut, awful rut. You pray the same thing. In my youth, I would start praying, and I had all my missionaries down pat, and I'd be half asleep and pray all through it. But then I'd switch gears, and sometimes I would go back and start praying halfway through the list. My mama would kick me right in the middle of my prayers. Wham! Because I was half asleep. I was just rote, you know, bing, 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 bing. Didn't mean a thing. And boy, she noticed that. Boy, she'd wallop me. Woo! I'd pray better. It is so important. Keep prayer simple. Oh, I might say the wrong thing. You can't say the wrong thing in praying. We're going to be praying more on Wednesday nights. Pastor Kyle breaks up in prayer. If you feel uncomfortable praying in a group, stay there, because it's great to have somebody to pray for you. Is that right? Stay there. You know, say pass, you know. Or just keep silent. Don't leave. Just be silent and let somebody pray for you. Is it good to have somebody pray for you? Wow. We have a day where we need to be praying for people. And there's people out there hurting all the time, and to pray. You need to ask your children. I've been asking my grandkids. We've had them living with us for the last 4 or 5 days. I got a little bit more gray hair. No, they were great. But I challenged them every day. They're in the second grade and in the fourth grade. Challenge them every day to find somebody to pray for. I'd ask them at the end of the day, did you find anybody to pray for? He said, well, there was a guy that's mean at school, and I was nice to him. I said, that's good, that's good. But if you see somebody sad or somebody hurting, should you pray for him? Yes. And you get your children experiencing the presence of God is so important. Prayer is like breathing. Ephesians 6:18. We're back to prayer here. Prayer is like breathing. One guy said we breathe 17,000 to 30,000 times a day. You want to count them? Breathing. Prayer should be as natural as breathing. Is that right? It's breath. It's prayer. And we need to realize that this is so good. We're going to quickly go through the armor here, real quickly. I have all of these on the back table back there, or easel back there. I have all these slides on there, and so you can get them and redo them here. But it's very important that we realize, when you get up tomorrow morning, or today, whatever, after your nap. Okay, when you get up today, I want you to think about prayer as breathing, breathing. And we're going to have five armor pieces that are belief. And then we have one armor piece that hits all the darts of the evil one, called the shield of faith. Is that right? So we have double protection there. And then we have prayer. So we have a triple protection. Is that right? We have the five pieces of armor all right here. and then the shield, which covers the whole thing, and it says it quenches all the fiery darts, so that's another level of protection. And then we have prayer, the unseen. We have triple protection. Is that wild? That's why he says, hey, pray, pray. We have the belt. When you put your belt on, think of truth. Think of truth. It's very important. All these are back there. You can go through all these verses. Then when you, because God is all truth, and the Word of God is absolute, amen, absolute truth, and it can be trusted. That's truth. And you put it on, put that belt on, that's truth. Then you put your shirt on, okay? That's righteousness, is that right? Righteousness, the breastplate, that I'm forever declared justified, forgiven, and declared righteous, and one day I'm going to be glorified. Amen? I don't deserve it, but I got it from God. He forgave me and declared me righteous, justified. Then when you put your shoes on, as I get older, putting shoes on is getting harder. I don't know why. I know why. But it's the gospel of peace. I am forever at peace with God as His friend and His blessed child, never again to be condemned and a condemned enemy. And this was kind of giving the gospel peace away. And peace can be available to all enemies of God, all sinners. Amen? It's the peace. I am at peace with God. I'm His friend. I'm not His enemy anymore. He loves me. And you put that on, the belt, the shirt, and the shoes, and then we go to the hat. I didn't quite know what to do with this one. To the hat, or fixing your hair, and you bald people, shining your forehead. Okay? It's salvation. Now, That's going to be tonight. We're on salvation and the Word of God tonight, so I'm not going to go into that one too much. But Romans 5, 1 to 6 is for both of them. It's great. But put on salvation, and then to when you call on your cell phone. I was trying to get something in your hand. The sword. Do you know what's in everybody's hands today? A stinking cell phone. Okay, we can use it for good, or you can use it for stupid. Okay? So when you have your cell phone in your hand, you should think the Word of God. Is that right? Can you get the Word of God on your cell phone? Yes, you can. Right there. The Word of God. If you have a cell phone, you can punch in the Bible and whatever version you want. It'll pop right up. Is that right? Pop right up. So it's the Word of God. The Word of God. Every time you have a cell phone in your hand, I want you to think about the Word of God. Because if we read it, study it, memorize it, meditate on it, trust it, proclaim it, witness it, or pray through it, God's Word sends the devil on the run and gives Jesus the victory. And that's so important. And lastly, faith, the sixth one there. Quite didn't know what to say about this one. Your coat, but you don't put your coat on all the time. You shower. When you get in the shower or put your coat on, I want you to think about faith. Because it's the shield. Is that right? The first five are right there. First level of defense. The second level of defense is the shield. The shield covered the whole ball game. And then he says, the shield of faith. You know, I believe and I claim God's promises and precepts to defeat all of Satan's temptations. That is the shield of faith is so important. And then lastly, here is the breath of prayer. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit is truly ready, but the flesh is what? Weak. It says, watch and pray. Be alert. Be on guard and pray. And you won't yield to temptation. That's a wonderful thing. Prayer. I will pray powerfully and victoriously. Pray on every piece of divine armor every time Satan tempts me. You're in the middle of your day and you're being tempted by your mind. So you pray on the helmet of salvation. Is that right? You're being tempted in your foundation. You pray on truth. You know, you pray it on. You put it on, but you pray it on. And it's so important to pray through that. And you realize, for I am weak in my flesh, but victoriously strong in the indwelling Spirit of Christ. Pray armor on. That is so important that we grasp that. And And we are to be praying that on and having this triple protection of our five beliefs, our faith and our prayers, keeping us victorious and praying armor on. We are to pray always. We are to pray without ceasing. Is that right? How do we do that? Okay, let me tell you how. It's just like, can you pray all the time? Can you pray 24/7? Tell me. No, I can't. I sleep some, okay? I do, but I've figured this out. Because if I had to pray all the time, I would never make it, okay? I do believe he's saying this. Be like a first responder. We have first responders. Do we have any firemen here today? Firemen, okay. A policeman, we have policemen. EMTs, any EMTs? Anyone that works in the ER, okay? These are first responders. These are first responders. There was a man on news this week that was 50 years a fireman, and he was a barber. He said in his town, and he says he'll be barbering somebody, and the whistle will go off. He'll drop his barber thing, give the guy half a haircut, and he takes off. He's probably a better fireman than barber. But his main goal in life is to put out what? Fires. He's got it on his mind all the time. You know, the firemen are at the station, maybe eating a meal, and all of a sudden the whistle goes. Is that right? What do you got to do? Drop everything and go. First responders. And policemen, you're doing, policemen's at Lucky's eating donuts. And the siren goes off. What? They drop the donut and go. And an ER, they're sitting there, and all of a sudden they got a big wreck coming in, and all 50 people coming in. You need to be a first responder. What praying without ceasing means that you're in the attitude of prayer all the time. Okay? And everywhere you go, be it a ball game, whatever, you should be in an attitude of prayer. Be it sports, be it work, be it on vacation, be it in the regular life, being at your neighbor's, is that right? Whatever, wherever. You're in an attitude, you're breathing. Every time you breathe, it's prayer. Everything becomes a prayer. Every person you see, a child that's disobedient to their parents, you need to go up and just shake them. Or you can what? You can pray for them. Everything should be a prayer. Everything. Everything. When you see something going right, you should praise. Is that right? When you see something going wrong, you should pray. Everything. Every event, every activity, everywhere you go, you are a first responder. You are a prayer. And you are praying without ceasing. In the Old Testament, they prayed three times a day, okay? We're told to be praying all the time. They had a fast once a whole year. They fasted. And some of the Pharisees in the New Testament fasted twice a week on Monday and Thursday. We're to pray without ceasing. Is that better? It is. We're to be in constant thought of prayer. And it's something that we are God conscious. We're aware of His presence. We have an awareness there, a consciousness of Him. And every event, every task becomes a prayer. And that is so important that we grasp that. I'm a first responder. I got to go to work. Do you got to go to work? You know, boss, I'm praying today. I can't come to work. No, you go to work and your whole life is prayer. Is that right? You're driving down the road and somebody's driving crazy. You pray for them. Is that right? Or you can scream at them. You hear a gossip or you hear somebody yapping about something or complaining about something. And I trust we don't have gossiping. If somebody gossiped to you about somebody, all you have to say, is this a prayer request? Solves it real quickly. Is this a prayer request? Yes. says, oh yeah, so somebody's gossiping. Is this a prayer request? And you know, we should, everything should draw us to prayer. Everything, everything that happens should be a prayer. You know, I got myself ready for jury duty, and I said, God help me, God help me. I really don't want to be here. I don't have time. Wow, here I go. I went. I walked in there, saw somebody that nobody sat beside. I sat with him, started talking with him. Started praying for him. Is that right? Still praying for him, okay? And got talking to another person, got talking to another person. I had a great day. Had a great day. Really did. I really did. Didn't want to be there, but had a great day. Is that right? Because if God has me there, I should go pray for somebody or go witness somebody or do something. And whatever you do, be a first responder. You're praying without ceasing. You have an attitude of prayer. You got to go to work. You got to go to the grocery store. You got to go to this place. You got to go to that place. Is that right? You got to go with your kids to basketball. Is that right? Can you go there with God all the time? Praying. Atmosphere. That's first response. Praying all the time. Last point here. Says in 1 Samuel 12, verse 23. Everybody look at it and I close. God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for. Is that a powerful verse? You mean to tell me if I don't pray for my brothers and sisters, I sin? Whoa. You mean to tell me if I don't pray for lost people and missionaries, I sin? I want you to know that verse is heavy up on me because I don't do it all the time. Huh? And I keep that verse. I have that verse written on my wall right over there. If I forbid, that God forbid, that I sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. We are like Christian atheists. We believe that God will hear and answer our prayer, but we don't ask. Huh? We worry about it. We fret about it. We try to fix it ourselves. No. We need to pray every breath. Every breath. Be a first responder. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Where are you today? How many say, preacher, I needed this this sermon on prayer. Put my hand up. I needed this sermon on prayer. I needed it. I needed it. My hand's up. I needed it too. Preacher, include me in it. I needed this sermon on prayer. I need to get serious, be the first responder. I need to just be praying about everything. I need to pray right, not just petition all the time. I need to pray the armor on all day. I just need to be a person that knows that I got to pray the armor on, the truth, the righteousness, the peace, the faith, the salvation, and then prayer and the Word of God. Just pray it all on, all day long. When I fall, get up and pray it all on again. When I don't sense it that it's on, I pray it all on again. And to be a first responder in prayer. Preacher, pray for me in that area. Anybody? Anybody? I'm me, Lord, me, Lord. If you're here this morning, don't know Jesus as your Savior. Preacher, you need to pray that I know Jesus as my Savior and I'm going to miss hell and go to heaven because of my faith and trust in Jesus alone. Preacher, I'm not sure of that. Pray for me. Can I pray for you? Just real simple. Anybody? Anybody? Preacher, I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for you, bud. Very important. Very important. Church, arise. Put your armor on. Every day, all day. Breathe. Prayer. Breathe. Prayer. Life.